Happy day that was. The Lord took our sins and put them under His blood that we could have life eternal. And that is a glorious day for anybody, any person to have that experience with knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. This past week we have heard the news reports of two in the world, at least famous people that have committed suicide and look like they would have everything going for them. You would think by looking on the outward appearance and the expressions of their life and the shows that they had and the influence that they had on different fashions, you'd think they were on top of the world. But you never know what's going on the inside. Never know what's going on in the heart of an individual. And we can cover it up pretty good. And I had a comment made from a person that I know, and they were making all kind of comments about how sad it is and what we need to do and how society needs to figure out what the problem is. And I'd read and read and read all that, and I finally just said, I told them, I said, well, the main problem that people have is they need a personal relationship with the Lord. That'd take care of a lot of the problems. They were talking about mental health, and don't get me wrong, I know there's a great need for awareness of people that have problems in the mind. It's just as serious, if not more serious, than physical problems in the body. And I know it has a different stigma about it, but should not have. But mental health is not the problem. Sin is the problem. The need that we have in our life is the Lord Jesus Christ. And they didn't disagree with me, but they didn't agree with me either. And the need that they have is just like what I told her. They need the Lord just like everybody else. That'd cure a whole lot of the problems in our country. If our country would come back and have a real awakening, spirit-filled awakening from the Lord, letting people see themselves as they are. We have learned to cover it up. We've learned to dress it up. We've learned to believe our own lies that everything's okay. But when things are not okay, then we realize something has gone awry. And so the cure to it is the Lord. And tonight we're going to look at a couple of men, and they had the same problem as the whole world does, and the cure was right there with them, and the Lord Jesus Christ was the cure. We're going to be dealing tonight with the two malefactors, or the thieves that were crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ, and the need that they had, and what took place. So we'll begin our reading tonight in Luke. Luke chapter number 23, and we'll begin in verse number 33. Luke chapter 23 and verse 33. Of course, we've had the trial, and now they're ready for the crucifixion of the Lord. And verse 33 says, "And when they were come to the place, which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be Christ, if thou be the King of the Jews, save thyself. And the superscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the King of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss." And he said unto him, "Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said unto him, "Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit," having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Reading here in these verses, we find the account of two men that were crucified alongside, on either side of the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew, Mark, and Luke all have the account given. And I want us to read a few verses in those other places and get the sort of the whole message here. So if you would turn back to Matthew chapter 27, and we'll begin reading in verse number 41. Here we find these two men just barely mentioned in the Gospel of Matthew, because the whole crowd, I studied a little bit this week on people that watched Jesus die, the different ones that were there around the cross. Some are mentioned very explicitly who they were and some of the things that they said, but there was a great multitude that were also there watching the death and the crucifixion of these three men. They was watching how Jesus was to die. And in Matthew chapter 27, verse number 41, the Bible says, "Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him, and the scribes and elders, said, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save. And if he be king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he saith, I am the Son of God.'" Notice verse 44, "And the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in his teeth." They were saying the same thing. Both of them were, at this time, were saying basically the same thing as the mob that was around the Lord. If he be Christ, if he be the Son of God, let him come down off the cross, let him save himself. Now turn over to Mark chapter number 15. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, verse number 24. "And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, casting lots upon them, that what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. The superscription of his accusation was written over the King of the Jews. And when they had with him they crucified two thieves, the one on the right hand, the other on the left. And that the scripture be fulfilled, which saith, 'He was numbered with the transgressors.' And they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads, saying, 'Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and build it in 3 days.'" They remembered the words of the Lord. He had made the statement there in the temple, said, "You destroy this temple, I'll raise it again in 3 days." And of course they were talking about Herod's temple. They thought he was talking about that physical temple, but Jesus was talking about his body. And he said, "You destroy this temple, this body, I'll raise it in 3 days." And here they bring that subject up and said, you're really raising up a temple in 3 days. You're being destroyed. He says in verse number 30, "Save thyself and come down from the cross." "Likewise also the chief priests, mocking, said among themselves, 'He saved others, himself he cannot save. Let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross, that we may see and believe.'" There's the problem. They wanted to see it to believe it. Thank God we can believe it so we can see it. And that's the difference in sight and faith. Verse number 33, "And the sixth hour was come," there's darkness, "over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And some of them stood by, when they heard it, said, behold, he calls Elias. And one ran and filled a sponge full of vinegar, put it on a reed, and gave him to drink, saying, let alone, let us see whether Elias will come to take him down. And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Here we find these accounts of the soldiers, the mob, the high priest, the different priests, and of course the two thieves. They're called malefactors. They're called thieves. They are breakers of the law, and they are there justly going through and having being put to death by the law of Rome because of their deeds that they had done and the thievery that they had had and the possibly even the murders. And so these men were justly going to the cross. Jesus Christ was there unjustly as far as the actions of his life, but he was there to justify you and I as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want us to look at these two men. We could look at the centurion. We could look at the different ones, those that gambled for the clothes of the Lord. They cast lots. But these two men are facing the same destiny. They're facing the same eternity as the Lord Jesus Christ. Their physical life is going to be ended. They know there is no appeal. There's no hope. They're on the cross. They are suffering the anguish of the cross, just like the Lord. And they realize that their moments are a few. They realize that they just have a little while, just a few hours. Now, there's some people know they have maybe a few years to live. There's some people that know they have a few months. There's some maybe know they have a few weeks. I read one of the newscasters this week. He said, I realize I have only a few days. Well, these men realize they have only a few hours. Life is flowing from them as they are hanging there on the cross. And they had the same opportunity. Both of them had the same, heard the same words. Both of them experienced the same thing. They saw and heard the reaction of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were there in the darkness of the earth from the sixth hour to the ninth hour. They heard the accusations and the yells of the mob that wanted to destroy the Lord, that said, give us Barabbas and crucify him. And so they were there, first-hand experience of what was taking place. Now, the crowd was not there to watch them die. The crowd was not there to rail against them. They could have cared less about those thieves. But they were there because of their evil deeds. And they heard the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. They saw his expressions. They heard his voice. There's a wonderful thing that we have hearing, because we can hear the expressions of people, and they're not just words. One of the bad things about everybody that texts things is there's no expression. It's just words that are there, and we can put our own expression to them any way we want to, and it may not be anything near what they're meaning for that expression. But they heard the expressions of the Lord. They heard the words of Christ. They talked to the Lord as they were hanging there. And they both went out to eternity that very day. They both died, one without God, one with the Lord. And so I want us to look tonight about these two men, these two thieves, and how they experienced the Lord Jesus Christ, what they gained, what they lost. There was one man that was there, and he lost more than he would ever imagine. He had no idea what was going on. He had no idea spiritually what was taking place. He maybe didn't have any understanding at all about the Jews' religion, and he could have cared less about that. But he'd heard about Christ. He had seen and heard some things and some of the murmurings and the rumbles in the city. And he said, you saved others. Why don't you save yourself and us? And this man was really more interested in us than yourself. He said, if you're able to do that, why don't you take care of the problem? Why don't you take care of this immediate need? You know, there's a lot of people tonight, they just want to take care of the immediate right now and never think about the future. They want the Lord to deal with them right now and take care of the problem right now. And I've heard people, and I'm sure you've heard people, if the Lord will do this for me, I'll go to church and I'll do this and I'll live better and I'll live right. And all they're concerned with at that moment is that God would get them out of hot water right then. But they're not worried about 2 years down the road or a few months down the road, because when the Lord does maybe give them a space of deliverance, they go right back to the same livelihood, same way, same ideas, never give God any attention at all. And so this man here, this one thief, he had the idea, if thou be Christ, save thyself, and save us. Take care of us at this moment. Mark chapter number 15, if thou be the Christ, descend from the cross that we may see and believe. We want to see it so we can believe it. We want to have our eyes to behold certain things so I can believe it in my heart. But you see, we dealt this morning with some of the heroes of the faith. They didn't see to believe, they believed to see. And you and I tonight, those of us that have been saved and born again, and probably everybody in this building is a Christian, we didn't see to believe. We believed so we could see the blessings of the Lord and the deliverance of God. And we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if thou be the Christ, get off the cross, descend from the cross, save yourself, save us. This man with that attitude, he lost his life. Just a few hours later, he drew his last breath. A few hours later, he was not able to speak. He was not able to think. He was hanging on his cross by the law, deserved cross, and he was there dead because of his livelihood and his way of life. He lost his life. But more importantly than that, he lost his soul. What will a man give for exchange? What will a man give to in exchange for his own soul? What does he think his soul is worth? This man didn't think it was worth very much. He had no understanding at all about his soul. And so what will a man give? What will it profit a man? What profit is there if you lose everything? What profit is it if you die without God? You may be the richest. You may be the most famous. You may be on top of your gain. You may be on top of the world. But what good is it when you lose your own soul? Those that I mentioned earlier, what good is it to them now that they had fame and fortune? What good is it to them now that they had somebody could see their face and they knew immediately who they were? What will you give in exchange? What does it profit a man or a person that would lose the whole world after gaining, or lose their soul after gaining the whole world? This man lost his life. He lost his soul. He lost his power. He now has no power. He's dead. His popularity is gone, if he had any. He probably wasn't too popular with the law enforcement people. He probably wasn't too popular with the officials of his day, but I'm sure he had friends. I'm sure he had folks that he was popular with. Maybe he was the number one thief in his gang. Who knows what his attitude was. And he may have had all kind of popularity. But when you draw that last breath, it doesn't matter. When you draw your last breath, popularity is nothing. And so he lost more than he ever thought about losing. He lost his life. He lost his soul. He lost his power. He lost his popularity. He lost the plenty that he had. This man may have been a well-off thief. He may have done that for a number of years, and he may have lived okay, and that's the way he made his living. Well, it's over now, and he's had opportunity. His life's ending now, but he has an opportunity to hear the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he rejects them. He lost that opportunity of life, and he lost the opportunity to come to the Lord and to have the love of the Lord Jesus Christ be bestowed upon him. Would the Lord have saved both of those thieves? Sure he would have. One came right, one would not come. Isn't it a strange thing in a family? We'll take a family for instance. They're raised by the same parents. They do the same things. They hear the same messages at church. They go through all the things of life together. But one of them gets saved and lives for God, and one of them does not. It's hard to explain. It's not the opportunity they didn't have. It's not the words they didn't hear. It's not the things that that are outward coming at them, because all the same. But I've known families, you know families, there may be some of our own family, that in that family there are people that hear the same messages and they go to church all the time the same, especially as kids growing up together in the house of God. They hear the same message, but yet one gets saved and one does not. Is it the Lord's fault? I don't think so, because he's not willing that any would perish. But it's the fault of an individual that would say, no, I want to try to figure it out more. No, I want a little more time. No, I want to live my life. No, I want to do my own thing. Well, this man has done his own thing now, and it's just about to end. You would think facing eternity, you would think facing death, that he'd be ready to say, if you're the Christ, I believe I want to take your words. If you're who you say you are, then I want to believe you and trust you so that I can be with you as you've promised this other thief. But he had a spirit about him that he rejected. Had a spirit about him that he no longer cared about life or what was after life. And so he lost his opportunity. It wasn't that it wasn't there. He maybe never heard too much about the Lord other than what he'd heard in the streets, but now he's hanging side by side, and he can turn his head to the right or the left, whichever side he was on. He could turn his head and could see the very Son of God. His ears could be attentive to the words. He heard those utterances that the Lord made there from the cross. From the cross, Jesus said seven different things, and the first one was, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He heard the words. He heard the conversation with his mother. He heard the words with John. He heard the words between him and his father, God. Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He heard all those words, yet he went off into eternity, lost his opportunity, died without God. He lost more than he'd ever stolen. He'd lost more than he'd ever thought about gaining in his life. When he lost his life, he lost his opportunity, but he lost his eternity. He lost it as a person that would be with the Lord. He's lost that now. He dies denying Jesus Christ. He denies the Lord Jesus as the Son of God. He died in despair. He died in doubt. He said, if thou be Christ. The word Christ, we've studied that many times. It just simply means, if you're the Messiah. And there in Israel, they knew what it meant, the word Messiah. If you're Messiah, then you save us. Save yourself and get us out of the problem, then we'll see it and we'll believe it. He lost more than he ever gained. You know, tonight, I believe hell is just as real as it is as we believe it was then. I believe he's in hell tonight, and he's hearing and remembering those words, those thoughts, those feelings, maybe the wooing of the Spirit of God upon him to trust the Lord. He's remembering all of that. And maybe he's going throughout all eternity, if thou be Christ, if thou be Christ. Why did I say, if thou be Christ? And he's suffering in the pains and the agonies of hell. And that's not popular preaching in our day, but that's true preaching. When a man dies and goes to hell, he's there forever. Hell doesn't burn him up. It doesn't matter what religion tells you, doesn't matter what different denominations tell you, hell is a real place and it's everlasting. Fire is never quenched, fire is never put out, and the soul that dies without God, they go there in rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, losing their life, losing their opportunity, and losing their eternity without God. It's a sad story. It's a sad state. But thank the Lord for their other malefactor. The other man that was hanging there, he heard the same words as did the man that died without the Lord. One man lost more than he'd ever gained or gained by stealing. But this one, he found more than he ever thought about finding. He received more than he could have ever got from somebody else by crooked means. Now be assured, this man's a thief, just like the other man. He's just as wicked as this other thief that dies without the Lord. He's a sinner. He's just like the whole world tonight. He is guilty of sin. He's guilty of turning his back upon the Lord. But now he comes to a understanding. He's hearing things. It's having attention to his heart. Conversion is a work of God's grace in the heart. The Bible talks about being converted. The Bible talks about being regenerated. It talks about being changed. And the conversion, salvation, the change is an instantaneous happening when we believe the Lord, when we trust Him. When God begins to work on our heart, He begins to give us ideas. And this thief, he heard the words of the Lord on the cross. He heard the mockings of the crowd. He heard the different ones railing against Jesus Christ. He had read the sign above his head. And if you'll read all the Gospels, you'll have the total sign there. This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. The Jewish leaders said to Pilate, "And don't put that up there. Say he said he was King of the Jews." And Pilate said, "What I have written, I've written." He would not, did not change it. That's sort of like life. What we write, we write. What we have in our life is there, irreversible. It's there. But thank the Lord for His ability to forgive us of our sins. And this man was, he wasn't just convicted, he was converted. He was convicted of his wrong deeds and was placed on the cross. But he was converted while he was on the cross and believed upon the Lord. As it's a what a difference there is in these two men. He saw something in Jesus Christ that the other man did not see. He says in our verses, he says, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." Now the word kingdom, if you have a kingdom, that means you are a king. "Lord, you remember me when you come into your kingdom." And so he recognized the royalty of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad he's the royal, righteous Son of God, the Lord Jesus. And this man that was dying in his sins, just like the other man, he was guilty of his wrongdoings, just like the other thief. But he says, "Lord, I want you to remember me when you come to your kingdom. You have a kingdom, so therefore I'm believing." He believed in the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we have the lordship of Jesus Christ. He's Lord over our life. He is there to train us and to help us, to teach us in the ways of life. And He was there to believe upon the Lord. He said, when you come into your kingdom, said, "Would you please remember me?" What a cry of a heart that needed something from the one he's talking to. He was talking to the Lord. He was talking to the God of glory. And he understood he had a kingdom. And he said, "Would you just remember me?" What simple, easy words this man spoke. We have a track out there that we hand out. We use God's simple plan of salvation. There's nothing hard about getting saved. There's nothing difficult about trusting the Lord. It's a simple plan that God gives us. And God hears and accepts the simple words of people. And so this thief that died, that was dying there beside the Lord, he had heard the different utterances of Christ. He had heard all the accusations, but he believed that this man that was dying in the midst of them, he believed this man was a king. He said, so when you come into your kingdom, would you remember me? Remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. There had been others that declared Jesus was king. He had declared himself to be king. But now this man accepts it. You're a king. And so when you come to your kingdom, would you please remember me? Thank God he understood. He saw the royalty of the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't have to go through religion. He didn't have to go through all the different steps that different people have. All he had to do is believe, and the Lord took care of him. He says, not only that, not only does it show us that he believed in the royalty of the Lord, but he also really, he believed in the resurrection. Because he said, you're going to die just like I'm going to die, but you're going to come into your kingdom. There's life after. There is life after your dying. When thou comest into thy kingdom, dead men do not have kingdoms. When they're dead, their kingdom has ended. But this man realized, Jesus Christ, he's alive now. He's going to die, but he's going to live again. And Jesus said, you destroy the temple, I will raise it up in those 3 days. And of course, we know the Bible, but in 3 days and three nights, Jesus in the heart of the earth, as Jonah's in the belly of the fish, and Jesus Christ came out, resurrected. This man that hung on the cross, dying for his sins, rightfully so, he says, when thou comest to thy kingdom, you may be dying, but you have a kingdom, and would you please remember me? And so he saw the royalty of the Lord, he saw the resurrection of the Lord, and then lastly here, he saw the redemption of the Lord. Remember me. That's the plea, that's the cry of a sinner that has no hope. That man had no hope of having life. He had no hope of going home that night. He had told his friends, his family, goodbye for the last time. He had told all of his relatives that it's over, I'm going, and they're going to crucify me. And the enemies had all rejected the Lord, but here's one man. Now, there's others around the cross. I believe that centurion, he said truly he was the Son of God. I believe the testimony of the Lord while he was dying even brought people unto himself. But this man was hanging there beside him, hearing all the conversations, and he said, Lord, remember me. Just remember me. He didn't have to learn a catechism, an understanding of the scripture. He didn't have to know anything about Moses and Abraham, those that we preached on this morning. He didn't have to have any idea of what was going on. He just knew, you have a kingdom. I'm dying. You're dying, but you're going to your kingdom. Would you please take me with you? That's his attitude. And so he saw the royalty of the Lord Jesus Christ in that he was a king. He saw the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ because he said, you're going to go to your kingdom. Death is not the end of it. Death does not put a period at the end of life. All death does is put a period at the end of our life upon this earth. But life goes on. Never will it end. When God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, he became a living soul. And that word living there means forever and forever and forever. And it never stops. And so he realized that Jesus was going to live. And he realized he could live. I said, so would you please remember me? Redemption. Salvation. The sinner opened his heart. And the Savior opened his kingdom. Isn't that wonderful? This sinner hanging there on the cross, dying, opened his heart to the Lord. And Jesus opened his kingdom, for he made these words. And by the way, the other thief heard it also. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. His kingdom. Today, this day, not tomorrow, not somewhere out in the future. Today thou shalt be with me in paradise. This thief, all he had to do is just like what all we had to do. And that's repent of our sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the scripture says, and thou shalt be saved. One man lost more than he ever gained. He lost his eternity. One man gained more than he ever stole. He gained eternity. He gained life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, thou shalt be with me in paradise. And just as that man in hell is suffering the anguish and the agonies of remembering that day, remembering his rejection, remembering his railing accusation, just as he remembers all that in hell, I believe this man, this repentant thief, he's enjoying all the blessings of eternity. He's enjoying all the blessings of knowing royalty, understanding redemption, understanding resurrection. He's enjoying eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine if heaven has a place for the differences of people, which I doubt it does, but this man has the testimony in heaven, I died the same day Jesus died. I died the same place. I died the same way. And I ask him to remember me. And here I am. What a wonderful joy it is to know that heaven is our home. Eternity is out there, lurking before us. And to get there, we do not reform. We do not have to change over and try to get better and go to the doctors and figure out the diseases and take all these humanistic ideas. The only way you're going to get to heaven is through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I told that individual that this week, and I've told them before, and I'll probably tell them again. I'm interested in their eternity. I'm interested in their life, for they're part of my family. And they need God just like I need God. And it's like you need God, and we can go to heaven just like the repentant thief, just by expressing, would you remember me? I'm glad God does that. I'm glad he gives life. Let's stand together tonight.